Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Joe Rex wrote in for Derek Mason. My name is Braden Gall. Good Monday morning, everybody. Not a good weekend in Nashville sports as, of course, the Tennessee Titans lose 24-21 to the Houston Texans at Nissan Stadium. We'll get back to that. The Tennessee Volunteers fall to Memphis up on Saturday night on Rocky Top in what was a very ugly Saturday afternoon, I should say, in an ugly performance by the backcourt for Tennessee. Obviously, the Predators fall 4-1 to the Dallas Stars as well. Darren McFarland joining us here, of course, host coming up top of the hour with Willie Donick and Chase McCabe. Keeps those two guys in line every single day from 10 until 2. Darren, how are you, sir? Rough day in Middle Tennessee for Tennessee sports fans.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, I guess the rain is indicative of what we all went through a sports weekend, right? I guess we should throw in Austin Peay to get the weekend started on Friday night, losing to Montana State. So, yeah, all around goose eggs for a lot of people in our area following teams this weekend. Just wasn't a good weekend.
We'll get to your thoughts on the Titans here momentarily, but I want to talk Preds, obviously. And there's so much to look at with this team. They play really well in the first period. They get a 1-0 lead, and then they just completely wet the bed in the second period with four goals. And there's been a lot of reasons, and sometimes they're excuses and sometimes they're reasons, whether it's goaltending or defense or special teams or tough schedule or, you know, injuries to Arvidsson. There's a lot of things that have happened that we can point to and say, hey, all right, they're really great on 5-on-5. They're really this, they're really that. At the end of the day, Darren, they are 31, 32 games, whatever it is, into the season, and they are a 12th place team in the Western Conference. There has to be an explanation for that because they're too talented.
Yeah, no, certainly you're right. Braden, in the past, you can point to maybe it's scheduling. Maybe you've started off with a lot of road games to begin or a lot of back-to-backs, very compact schedule. Well, that hasn't been the case the last 2.5 months. Well, you've just been littered with a slew of injuries. And, well, they've had a couple of injuries, and certainly Victor Arvidsson's a big hit, out 4 to 6 weeks. But overall, well, they've been relatively healthy, so you can't really talk about that. I mean, you're right. There are things that usually are happening that you have a good explanation for. The bottom line is the players aren't making excuses, the coaches aren't making excuses, and the bottom line is they're just not playing up to their capability. I mean, we know how talented this roster is, but they're just simply not getting it done. What they are is what the stats tell everybody they are. They're in the middle of the league in goals for, and they're in the middle of the league goals against, which means, you know, they're just average. And they haven't been good on the power play lately. They're at the bottom of the league in power play, I think 27th overall. Penalty kill is 24th. That's at or near the bottom. And, you know, that's just what they are, which is where they are in the standings, at or near the bottom. Like you said, they're in 12th place in the Western Conference. They're 6th in their division, and a lot of it's really just head-scratching. I don't think the defense has been great. We've certainly talked about that. I don't think goaltending has been great, but I don't think it's as bad as the numbers indicate. I think it's more about the play in front. And right now, they're just not getting the production where they need it. I mean, I think we talked about it before. If we were really assessing this team through the first 2.5 months, you could probably point to the third and fourth lines as being better than the first and second lines. And you just can't simply, yeah, I don't care what sport you're talking about. I mean, you know, your superstars, your best players have to produce or it's going to affect your team. That's any sport. And yeah, they've been producing, but they haven't been producing maybe at the clip that you need out of a top two line, top six forwards. And so they've got to amp up that. They've got to amp up that production. So there's really, it's about just looking yourself in the mirror and saying, okay, what do we want to do here? Well, it's really on us, because you're right. There have been things you can point at in the past and say, well, this is happening. Certainly that affects the team. Well, right now there are, you know, a couple things here and there, but overall, really, it's just about themselves.
Well, Darren, a caller asked earlier, and I've had this question from a lot of fans about system. you know, tweak the system. The system doesn't fit the team. The system isn't working for the team. People have figured out the system. Do you think there's anything to system talk right now in regard to how this team's performing?
Come on, Joe. You're a national reporter. I expect better questions out of you than
professional.
That.
You're a professional writer, Joe.
Professional writer. God, I expect better questions than that. Certainly, I've seen the same stuff you've seen. Look, I get approached constantly, and that's part of it. And I love it. I love it because that means the fans are passionate. And I you know, there was an early start on Saturday, so it was a 5:30 puck drop, and I decided to run to the grocery store after post game, and still relatively early on a Saturday night, to grab a couple things, and a Predators fan stopped me in the grocery store and just told me all that they thought was wrong with the team. And like I said, it's part of the job, and I love it because that's the passion of the fan base. I mean, that's what you want. If nobody's talking about it, then you got real problems. That means your fan base is checked out, or that's what you don't want. But they do care, and they're passionate, and so I'm hearing everything that you're hearing, and I don't know about that. I mean, I certainly don't get that feeling in the room. I mean, I've said this before. I've been really pleased in the fact that the room remains loose and light, and they look like they're still locked in, and they're fully engaged. And, sometimes when things aren't going your way, the room is empty, and no one, people run and hide, and they're nowhere to be found, and nobody's talking, and that's not the mood at all. So if there's something like that going on where there's displeasure, I don't see it. I'm in there all the time, and I don't see it from the players. I see a team that still is sticking with the plan, a tight-knit group, and still loose and lighthearted and acting like, nothing's wrong. You would never know they are what we've been talking about in the standings. You would think it would be a team atop the standings. So to me, that's a good sign. I can't answer, has everybody figured out Peter Laviolette's system? I don't know. I mean, to me, it's not about figuring out a system. It's just about them putting in the work. Like I said, I think it's more about themselves than anything. I mean, in this league, I mean, you can talk to Terry Criss, you can talk to Hal Gill, you can talk to Chris Mason, all the people that we have readily available in this market that have been there and done it their entire life and know hockey inside and out. And when you hear greasy goals and doing the dirty work and going to the hard areas, it's just like in anything in sports. I mean, sometimes you have to outwork your opponent. You have to do the little things, and I don't think they're particularly doing that right now. I mean, there's too many times I look out there and there's not bodies in front of the net. I look out there too many times, that's when they're in the offensive zone, and too many times I see the opponent absolutely in front of the net in their zone and nobody around them. So I mean, you're getting too many bodies in front in their zone and not enough bodies in front when they're in the offensive zone. And so, to me, that's a problem because good things happen. When you shoot the puck, good things happen when bodies are in front of the net. And I don't think they're particularly doing that well right now when that, to me, is an easy fix. I mean, that's just about want and desire. And, you've heard Peter Laviolette talk about this group being an honest group. They are an honest group. I mean, Rocco Grimaldi is a prime example, and some of the guys that we've been talking to after games and post-game in Barrel House. Rocco was the guest on Saturday, and they're not making excuses. They know. So, it's like I said, it's just a matter of, are they willing to fix this? They know there's a problem. They know they're not where they're supposed to be. They know they're not getting the starts they're looking for, and they know they're not giving 60-minute efforts like they need to. They're not hiding from that. So, to me, it's not about figuring out somebody's system. It's about you having to do what you have to do to win hockey games night in and night out. We know the talent is there, but right now they just haven't shown it.
Darren, what you got coming up on the show today?
Well, we have to react to what happened yesterday at Nissan Stadium. Of course, Teron Davenport will be in studio with us. And, as we were just talking about at the beginning, tough loss. Now the Titans have a really steep hill to climb, and we'll see if they can climb over that mountain and find themselves in January football. I don't know, but we'll certainly discuss that. We'll head east. We'll talk with Vince Ferrara. We'll talk about their loss to Memphis. That's pretty much in the Predators. So that's what we're going to be hitting on today, basically what you guys have been touching on.
Yay, fun.
For the next 4 hours.
Thank you, Darren. We appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Coming up 10 o'clock, Darren Donick and Chase, of course. And, yeah,
not a good weekend for Nashville sports. That is for sure. Don't miss Wednesday night Smashville Live featuring WWE star Eric Young. Chase McCabe can hardly contain himself. We will be in Murfreesboro at Puckett's Grocery and Restaurant located at 114 North Church Street, and the show starts at 7 p.m. A limited number of autographs or pictures will be available, so be sure to get there early. Smashville Live is brought to you by our wonderful sponsors, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Titans lose yesterday. Playoff chanceses, are they done? Joe Rexroad, you're a professional writer. You will give us opinions. Did Mike Vrabel overreact in the press conference? Joe Rexroad will give us opinions on all of that when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
First play, should he have caught that? First in the end zone. It turned into a pick going the other way.
Should he have caught it? Like, come on, Joe. Like, you're a professional writer. Like, I don't know. Like, the guy came in and hit him as the ball got there.
Come on, Joe. You're a professional writer.
Emily Proud tweeted that apparently this was on Good Morning Football today.
And nice.
She said, you know, called me a professional writer, not nice way. I'm like, I'm excited to be called a professional writer. Are you kidding me?
With the way the media is attacked these days?
I love it.
Yeah.
I kind of feel good about it.
I thought that it's interesting because at first I thought, well, that kind of is a silly question. Like, of course he should have caught it. But then you explained your motives behind the question, which is, No. Like, did he screw that up? Like, do you expect him to hold on to that in that situation?
I still think it's an arguable point either way.
Exactly.
Professional, you know, pass catcher, but perfectly timed, great defensive play.
Right, and if I was Vrabel,
I don't know the answer. I need to ask the question again.
Right, and if I'm Vrabel, that's my answer there, instead of being snarky, which he was more than snarky with just you. He was a little snarky across the board yesterday. But, again, an emotional loss in one of the most critical situations that Mike Vrabel has ever been in his career. You expect tensions and emotions to be running high. That's okay. You get a little bit of some leeway and some wiggle room on that. And here was another here's sort of how he started the press conference. He came in and was already in a interesting mood, of course, following the loss. Tennessee Titans lose 24-21 to the Texans yesterday. Here was here's some more snippy Vrabel here.
Walking in here with Stretch, I said, one idiot is going to ask me that question. Like, okay, whether it's on the 20-yard line or the 11-yard line. Like, let's go back and talk about the game.
That was a question about LeSean Sims. And I don't like a head coach using the term idiot. I do think that if a coach in New York or Philly or Chicago in a sort of a media market where the media is like a bunch of sharks instead of like Nashville, we're all kind of like nice people. You're a nice guy. You're a professional writer. I think you would get roasted, I think, a little bit more in other markets. We are not a difficult market for athletes in general, kind of a broad brush there. I don't necessarily love, but I also think he was kind of saying it tongue in cheek. I don't think he was intentionally being like insulting to somebody there. And Vrabel was emotional yesterday. So you were at the press conference. You say you feel it's almost a compliment. You don't think that there was anything wrong with how Mike Vrabel handled yesterday, correct?
Oh, yeah. Now, listen, it's emotion after a tough loss. So you have to keep that in mind. Human beings dealing with this. The only thing I really don't like is when coaches – see, I think some people forget because they focus on who they're talking to. You know, this particular media person I don't like,
I know,
or
where you're
whatever.
Going with this.
And they don't focus on, you know, really this is just information that's being – you know, transmitted to the fans. So I don't like when coaches come in and act like, well, you're all too dumb to understand what that third down call was anyways. You know, stuff like that, which...
Coaches are condescending? No.
Yeah.
To the media?
Right. I know. Shocking.
No.
Like Mike Malarkey, who I like Mike Malarkey, you know, at times he fell into that where you're like, okay, like you could in 12 seconds explain it and we'd all understand it.
Right.
But anyway, that's the only thing. Emotion or, you know, popping off at people. Hey, I look, if we're going to be in there and ask these questions and you have to expect some stuff back. I frankly like human stuff versus robotics, you know, and there's too much of that out there.
I would agree with that as well. And again, I think it's important to acknowledge not everybody feels this way, but by and large, most people in the media, most journalists are professionals and they are doing something because we represent the fans. When I see something, and I have an opinion about something that I see, my loyalty is to my audience. Your loyalty as a writer is to the Titans fans who you are writing for. When you go to Tennessee-Memphis basketball game, you are writing about your experience and asking questions of Rick Barnes and Penny Hardaway for Tennessee and Memphis basketball fans. It's not for you.
Right.
When I have an opinion about...
That gets lost.
When I have an opinion about anything, when I come in here and I think, You know, listen, I was dead wrong about Marcus Mariota. He showed us. I thought he was going to have this have a good season, and this team would be 10-6, which is what I said. They still might finish 10-6, so I still might be right. But different quarterback. And I was dead wrong about that. But that was my opinion. And my honest opinion is always going to be what I give you on this show. And I hope that's why you listen to this show, is because you know I'm not going to sugarcoat or do whatever it takes. When I have an opinion about something that I see, I am doing that for the fans. I say that for the audience. My loyalty will always be to our audience. And so that is what reporters are doing in rooms like that. When Vrabel has a comment like that, I think you're right. The coaches get so caught up on who's delivering the message when the message is really about the fans. And so, again, I don't have a problem. I thought Vrabel was, again, even in his snarkiest moments, he still has like a likability factor. There's still sort of like, it's snarky and it's like jovial, and he's kind of one of the guys, and he's such a players guy. You know he's going to defend the players. Even the idiot comment and calling you a professional, right? Like, even in those moments, it's still fairly like, he's kind of jabbing you as like a friend would jab you, not like really being mean spirited and evil towards you, if that makes sense. I'd rather have the human side than the robotic side.
Well, and in both cases, it's consistent with, look, Mike Vrabel, I will say this with confidence, in his entire coaching career, he will never call out a player or even, I think, really indulge the idea of player X should have done Y.
Well, what's this
he
thing?
He won't do it, and which, I mean, at times can be frustrating, because, like, well, sometimes these are professional athletes, and they make mistakes, and it's okay to say that, but he just won't do it. So
like
both
on the
of those
kick.
Questions
on
were the... in relation to individual mistakes, right, or perceived mistakes, and he's not going there.
His blocked kick answer is always going to be, well, there's a snap, a hold, and a kick, and we got to go back and watch the tape and find out which one was wrong. And, like...
Right.
Okay.
Like, we all saw that it was a low kick, but yeah,
right,
he's
like
still
it's a
gonna,
low kick, right?
Well, and that's like a coaching and player one-on-one after a game is always like, I got to watch a film on that, you know?
What was the
Sometimes you don't.
What was the crowd like at Nissan Stadium? Because the club level at kickoff looked very empty. Lower bowl looked pretty full. Upper deck looked pretty solid. I agree with you in that we should wait until midway through near the end of the first quarter to start making judgments on crowds, because
yes,
especially at Nissan Stadium, where it takes forever to get into the building.
Right.
What did the crowd at the end of the first quarter look like, in your opinion?
I thought it was a good response. Was it the best response? No. I think, you know, a year ago, pretty much no empty seats for that Colts game, and largely yep, Titans fans. There are probably more Colts fans there than yesterday. Yes, it really... When this stadium is full in recent years, it's because you got 20,000 of the other team's fans. Yesterday, it was all Titans fans, and it was about 5,000-6,000 short of being totally full. Those club seats are always, that's honestly yeah, like the problem area, yeah, but a lot of the upper spots of the upper deck were full. I thought it was a good response, a good atmosphere. Was it elite? No. Was it relative to the norm a good response? I thought so. I've been told I'm soft on crowds, but I thought it was.
You're a professional writer,
good,
and you're soft on crowds, yeah, Joe. No, I think the club level is like an issue for every team in every sport in every market, because like the rich folk don't always show up, right? Like, or they're drinking in their suites or whatever. Like, it's just part of an issue that I think all professional sports teams are dealing with. Tune in to 102.5 The Game on Monday, December 30th for the 2019 Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium. Listen in as Louisville takes on Mississippi State. Should be a lot of good fans from both sides in the game on that one. Coverage of the game is sponsored by Hi-Fi Buys, Houston Clinics Orthopedics, and Holly Garenzen, your local Geico agent. Tickets are available to purchase on Ticketmaster.com. So go there right now. Yeah, the crowd was something we talked about. I expected it to be pretty solid. All week last week, I think Derek and I talked that there's no reason not to show up. The offense is clicking. The team's in first place. The weather's not terrible for December. Like, it should be fine. And I think we got that yesterday. So what it takes, though, the interesting thing with the Titans is that it takes all of that to get people into the building. When the Texans came to town in a win or get in game a couple years ago, it takes that situation. Last year with the Colts, it takes first place or a playoff game, basically, to get people to buy in. And I don't know, it takes so much.
Well, I'll flip it around.
For it to go that way.
I'm sorry, I'll flip it around on you. And the fan who came yesterday, who normally doesn't come, is now saying what? Well, that's why I haven't been coming. They stomp on my heart again, right? I mean, you also need to take advantage.
But isn't that the point of being a sports fan, though? Like, you sure, know you get the goods and the bads, right? Like, that's...
Listen, there's a crew of about 50,000 people, 45,000 people who are there every week, and they're great. And they are, and it's still young fan base, okay? Young, you know, 20 years old, you don't have the generational fandom. And right now, in all sports, it has to be part of any discussion about fan attendance. It is. If everybody built a new stadium right now, they'd all be much smaller and much more catered to people with a lot of money. And that's just how things are. Fewer and fewer people are willing to spend that money when they have. I mean, we've talked about it a million times.
Oh, yeah. We can go round and round with
but
the TVs.
It has to be part of the discussion on this.
Of course.
Because it's just it's part of the deal.
The problem is with Nissan Stadium, and again, this is a much larger conversation and not one that needs to happen today, but it's not just the base issues that every team deals with. It's also a really antiquated old stadium that doesn't have all the amenities, that takes a long time for people to get in. The concourse is like a bad parking garage. Like, it's just not a... I went to Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the SEC Media Days, and I came back and went to a soccer match here, like, within the same week, and I was just like, oh, my God.
A little bit different.
This is awful. So, but they're working on that, and they're going to fix that. What helps is a great offense, and the Titans' offense, once again, yesterday was pretty solid, 20 points in the second half. That's another solid performance from Tannehill. That's the second longest streak of all time in NFL history. That's six consecutive games with 20 points in the second half. A.J. Brown was an absolute monster. They still have a path to the playoffs. So we'll get to that path to the playoffs. We'll explain what they need to do after the loss to the Texans yesterday and your Heisman vote as well. We'll explain when we come back right here on Morning Drive. ESPN 102.5 The Game is bringing you The Road to Dallas. Nashville's best coverage of the Winter Classic. Keep up with all you need to know about the Winter Classic as the Preds face the Stars in Dallas on New Year's Day. Special programming and live coverage from Dallas all month long. Hit up thegamenashville.com for full programming information. The Road to Dallas is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service Convenience Stores. Joe Rexroad in for Derek Mason here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And real quickly, before we get to, you're a Heisman voter, I'm a Heisman voter. We'll give out our ballots here in a second. But before we get to that, Titans lose yesterday 24-21. Sometimes you just get beat by a team that has a special player doing special things, and the defense, to me, the secondary injuries came to light yesterday as Deshaun Watson and Nuke Hopkins just torched him in the fourth quarter. I thought they just made plays, and the Titans couldn't get a stop when they needed to. Special teams were a large issue, sort of writ large across the board yesterday, and I think as a season, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel are going to have to answer questions about how this season has unfolded as it pertains to special teams outside of the punter, by and large, but they get a kick blocked, and that was kind of the difference on the first drive there, Joe. But there is still a path to the playoffs. Pittsburgh loses last night to Buffalo. You're a game back at Houston in the division. They're going to have the tiebreaker, so you got to win both, and they have to lose both for that to happen, obviously. But you can still get in as a wild card. So all hope not lost, and still lots to like about the offensive performance yesterday from the Titans as well.
Yeah, no question. There's a number of different scenarios here. The interesting one is the 9-7 and 9-7 with Pittsburgh. With a win over the Texans, that would be a loss to the Saints. Win over the Texans, you would actually beat Pittsburgh. Now, of course, you need them to lose either at the Jets or at a Ravens team that may have a one seed locked up and may have
nothing
Lamar Jackson watching from the sideline. So,
although they've shown a propensity to not protect Lamar Jackson at any point this year, so maybe I'm with you. That's
true.
That what you need is you need Tampa Bay and the Jets this week to come through. Houston will play Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is putting up video game numbers with Jameis Winston. So, and they're 7-7, by the way, so that's not a bad team. And then the Jets, of course, who are not terrible on defense, with their unit there, they will host the Steelers. So you got to become a big Jets fan now and a big Buccaneers fan right now.
And we've been talking about the kicking in terms of, you're right, I mean, you got to answer questions about, I mean, there are a lot of missteps when it comes to the kicking game, but also, is there a move directly ahead here in the kicking game? I mean, for one thing, again, Ryan Santoso, 9-17 on touchbacks as a quote-unquote kickoff specialist.
And Vrabel, after the game yesterday, when asked why wasn't Ryan Succop's out there, who's got all the experience in the world to do that. Ryan Santoso is our onside kick guy. So he's your onside kick guy, and he's your kickoff specialist for touchbacks, and he's sort of not doing either of them well.
The thing is, he got a practice onside kick, if you remember, because, they stopped. Yeah, he actually got two. They both looked awful.
Well, and it's funny that they had the special teams coach for the Texans on the screen when they huddled up, and you could see him basically, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here because I don't remember exactly what he said, but you could read his lips, and he's like, basically, he's like, all right, boys, you saw what it looked like. Like, you could see him mouthing to his team, like, all right, now you know what it looks like. Let's go out there, and of course, they pounced on it early on the second try. But special, you're right. I wonder if there is something to be done today, even still, with two games left to go. We can question the Cody Parkey decision, bringing Suckup back. We can question how they handled it in camp. We can question the decisions to go for it and kick it all throughout the course of the season. There's a lot of things we can question about how John Robinson and Mike Vrabel both handled special teams this year. But they have made a couple of big plays blocking kicks lately. So it'll be interesting to see, because Ryan Suckup clearly isn't the answer right now. And I honestly don't care about the LaShawn Sims play. Just don't tweet me about that crap, because I just don't care. If you start you need a Hail Mary play no matter what, either way. But the fake punt yesterday, people are going to be very critical and probably second guess that. That's okay. I got no problem with people second guessing that as well. So
I mean, I will. I hate it.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that was popularly second guessed that I will strike down is the play. The Firkser, pick off Firkser, picked,
which is a play action pass on first down inside the the five.
Was there a run fake on that? Okay,
well, yeah. at least an effort to.
But so it was first and goal from the five, and I know some people are like, oh, how did you have Derrick Henry? You know what? Listen, that play should have resulted in a touchdown.
Yeah.
I have no problem with throwing on first down when everybody expects Derrick Henry to get the ball, and I mean honestly. The fourth down play that turns into the bootleg and Tannehill cruises in, that one easily could have been blown up, right?
That's risky.
I mean, that one, like, I would say, yeah, just go ahead and go with your guy.
But it speaks to
no one thinks about it.
And it speaks to what teams are doing against the Titans when they get in those situations. They are loading up to stop Derrick Henry, which means you have to stop. You have to then counter that action, which is a bootleg by Tannehill on fourth down, or maybe a pass on first down to loosen that up so that at least those linebackers are thinking about it on second and third down. It was a 99% perfect play and call. The execution was nearly perfect, a solid throw. It was just a great play by a defensive player. Sometimes you just tip your hat. Like the throw to Kari Blasingame.
That was a great play by Zach Cunningham.
Like
Vanderbilt.
I got heat on Twitter because I was like, that's the difference between the NFL and college. Ryan Tannehill had no business getting that ball off. A great rush by the defensive end, but Tannehill did a great job to get rid of it. Boston game hadn't even turned around yet by the time the ball was getting to him, so it was a great catch by him, and then just a phenomenal tackle and read and reaction by Zach Cunningham. And that's just, it's a no play, no gain. It doesn't look like anything in the box score, but just a really awesome play by kind of everybody all the way across the board. And, that really is the difference between the college and the pro game.
That was a big boy play. You're right.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
All right. Speaking of college, the Heisman was awarded to Joe Burrow over the weekend. The largest margins of victory by a Heisman winner ever in the history of the award. He becomes the 85th winner. Highest percentage of ballots, most points ever received, highest percentage of first place votes, largest margin of victory. I mean, you name the number, Joe Burrow did it. We both have Heisman votes, and we both had Joe Burrow at number one.
Yeah, easily. I think this was as easy as I can remember it being. I would like to know, because to me, Justin Fields was easy too. He finished fourth. I think some people are off the mark on that. I think he was a clear two, but I'd like to know how many years a quarterback for an undefeated team that can win it all, that goes 40-1 TD to pick.
At Ohio State.
With 10 rushing touchdowns to boot, wins it. Probably a lot of years.
A lot of years.
So
that's how special Joe Burrow was.
Exactly. Amazing season. And in terms of the Heisman vote, I think the three, we had different threes. I've heard a lot of different ones out there. You get three picks on your ballot. And I had Jalen Hurts. You had Jonathan Taylor, which I like that pick. Jonathan Taylor, did he have 2,000 or 1,900?
Not quite 2,000, but I don't think there is a more important, I know quarterback's the quarterback. Like, everybody knows the quarterback.
Running backs deserve some love sometimes.
But I think Wisconsin, because again, they had the lead on Ohio State in the Big Ten title game, and there was conversation from Heather Dinich and other experts around the playoff that had they won that game, that the Wisconsin might have gotten in over Oklahoma. And even to be in the conversation with no passing game, no balance, one-dimensional offense, I just think when you break Herschel Walker records and you're passing that guy, again, I don't have a problem with your vote with Jalen Hurts. I don't have a problem if you put Chase Young in there. I toyed with Derrick Brown at Auburn. I think he's one of the best players I've ever seen. Trevor Lawrence.
I like it.
J.K. Dobbins. You could put so many players in there, and I'd have no problem with it. I went with Jonathan Taylor at three, but I had Justin Fields also at number two on my ballot. So I think that's the third year in a row I've gotten it right. if you want to call it right, or I voted for the winner, let's say. So I did not vote for Lamar Jackson or Derrick Henry, but that's just me.
If you're one of 43 people who didn't get it right, is that right? 43 people?
So there's a little over 900 votes. 43 people, 4.5%, did not have Joe Burrow on their ballot.
Oh, that's just insane.
Have him at the top three.
Like, there should be some sort of, like, you know, get off the island thing with Heisman votes. I think you can cut 43 people right there.
Joe Burrow had 841 first place votes. Jalen Hurts got 12. Chase Young got 6. Justin Fields got 20. Jonathan Taylor had 6. Trevor Lawrence had 3. J.K. Dobbins had 2. And Tua got a first place vote.
I mean, hey.
The argument for Tua is that he's definitely worth 3 points against Auburn, and if they beat Auburn, they're in the playoff right now.
I don't mind Tua getting a vote, honestly. A first-place vote I have a problem with, but yeah, getting a vote? He's one of the greatest players in the country.
He went for 450 against the number one team in the nation on 75% leg. So
yes.
I have no problem with anybody at 2 and 3. It's the guys that left Joe Burrow, men and women, who left Joe Burrow off their ballots altogether that I think need to explain why that happened. If you can give me a good reason, can't think of one. The only one I've seen so far that even makes a modicum of sense at all is that everyone knew Joe Burrow was going to win it, and so I wanted to give an extra person some love. But then you're not using the vote.
Don't be a voter.
Then you're not using the vote for what it's supposed to be for, right? So that 4.5%, you got some explaining to do.
This still doesn't infuriate me as much as Lou Whitaker still not being in the Baseball Hall of Fame, but we don't have time for that whole thing.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
Anyone under the age of 30 that doesn't live in Detroit? Get that reference?
Well, see, you should know how great Lou Whitaker was.
Sweet Lou, baby. Dude, I had Sweet Lou baseball cards growing up as a kid. I'm with you, man, on this. But
Lou and Tram.
Come on, man.
Both in.
All right, fair enough. Settle down over there, Joe. all right, Big Finish and the Daily Rewind. And we'll give away a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. So if you've got a bad Christmas party story, office Christmas party story, tweet at 1025_MD. You got about 5 minutes to get that in. So you better do that now. We'll come back and we'll hit the rewind right here on Morning Drive. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll give away a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. Teron Davenport in here stirring it up already, so he'll be on with the guys. Darren Donick and Chase. Joe Rexrode in. You're a professional writer,
Teron's Joe. Teron's a professional writer,
you
too.
You guys are professional writers. How dare you ask questions about football games to coaches after they coach football games. So Teron will be on with the guys coming up in a few minutes. We're going to give away a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card, so tweet at 1025_MD. Last chance to do that. Marquise, let's rewind it back, man.
The Texans come into Nissan Stadium and get a W, 24-21 against the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. And for all intents and purposes, the Titans no longer control their own destiny. They need some help, plenty of help. They did get a little bit of it last night, potentially, with the Buffalo Bills beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the bottom line is, as Joe Rexrode is in for Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Morning Drive, welcome to the show. For all intents and purposes, the Texans took control of that game in the fourth quarter. There are going to be way too many people way too focused on so many silly, small, stupid plays that don't matter. The bottom line for me is the Texans dominated in the fourth quarter. Their last five real offensive possessions either ended in points, touchdowns, or an interception in the end zone. But at the end of the day, the Titans had a chance. They were in the game. They had made the big defensive stop in their own end zone. The game is tied, and you couldn't stop Deshaun Watson. He made throw after throw after throw in the fourth quarter, many of which went to DeAndre Hopkins. I think he had 100 yards receiving basically in the fourth quarter, where he made three or four or five big chunk plays. The Tennessee Titans put up little to no resistance on defense for the final half of that football game, including the fourth quarter, and it caught up with them, the injuries in the secondary and the special teams, and now the Titans are no longer in control of their own destiny. They need help from the Texans, and they need help from the Steelers if they expect to get into the playoffs.
The weird thing with the Steelers is if the Titans and Steelers both go 10-6, the Steelers win the tiebreaker. If the Titans and Steelers both are 9-7 and the Titans win is over the Texans, then the Titans do get the tiebreaker over the Steelers. And that tiebreaker goes all the way down to like strength of victory, like point difference. And now there's also, like, you still can't discount the Colts right now. Now, if the Colts, they're at New Orleans tonight. I think if they lose that, as they should, I think then you move that away.
They're done.
Yeah. here. So, yeah, basically, like I was going back and forth Twitter with some people last night about the Saints game. Why does the Saints game matter? Well, it still matters because, you know, let's say you win that but lose to the Texans and you go 9-7. Well, you could still win the wild card that way if the Steelers lose both. So you still, like, the Saints game still matters.
And
we'll know Saturday. The thing is, we'll know Saturday if the Texans are AFC South champs.
The Jets are not a great football team by any stretch of the imagination, but are at home against the Steelers and could win that game because the NFL.
Yep.
So there are still plenty of paths for the Titans to get there, but if they win both games, they still need help from other people, and that's the issue with yesterday's loss.
Right.
Is it's, and I know, like, you know, these super deep-thinking football coaches will tell you that control of your own destiny is not real because destiny is predetermined, blah, 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 blah. But the point is that you no longer control it yourself by just saying, hey, if we go out and handle our business and win games, we will get into the playoffs. They now need other people to do bad things for the Titans to get in.
First play, should he have caught that? First in the end zone. It turned into a pick going the other way.
Should he have caught it? Like, come on, Joe. Like, you're a professional writer. Like, I don't know. Like, the guy came in and hit him as the ball got there.
Oh, come on, Joe. Come on, Joe. You're a professional writer.
That's the nicest thing a coach has ever said to me.
Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us here.
You know, before the loss yesterday, I thought it was going to be tough. When they were 2-4, I thought it was going to be tough. And when they were 6-5, I thought it was going to be tough. I mean, it's just, you know, when you looked at this last stretch of games, you thought it was going to be tough. And they got through the Colts game, and they got through the Raiders game, and you were like, wow. You know, those were two big ones. They beat the Chiefs as well. Those three. When they knocked off those three, you were like, wow. You know, really had a chance. But, you know, that's why it was going to be so hard, is because you had to win all of these, and you know you had to get to 10 wins probably, and that's where they still got to probably get to, is 10 victories for the season. And it's not going to be easy. It's not impossible, but it's not going to be easy.
Darren McFarland joining us here.
Bottom line is, the players aren't making excuses, the coaches aren't making excuses, and the bottom line is they're just not playing up to their capability. I mean, we know how talented this roster is, but they're just simply not getting it done. What they are is what the stats tell everybody they are. They're in the middle of the league in goals for, and they're in the middle of the league goals against, which means, you know, they're just average, and they haven't been good on the power play lately. They're at the bottom of the league in power play, like 27th overall. Penalty kill is 24th. That's at or near the bottom, and, you know, that's just what they are, which is where they are in the standings, at or near the bottom.
And I did hear from a Predators fan on Saturday that still clearly is not disappointed at all. She's still very fired up about this team.
Go Predators! Go Predators! Go Predators! Go boys! Go Predators on the game!
Who's winning?
I'm the Preds. Hockey player. Hockey player. Go Predators!
Color analyst for ESPN, Dick Vitale.
Well, it's tough to be Cameron Indoor and tough to be five because the students are right on top of you. But certainly it was an environment, it was very electric. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they started the minute I went in there, and I had a great time with all the students before the game, and they were really fired up big time. But, you know, Memphis quieted the crowd down, too, when they went at that run they did, and that quiets the crowd down. Then the crowd got live again, and, you know, that was a great environment. I mean, they've done a tremendous job, Rick Barnes and his staff, since coming to Tennessee.
That was
spectacular.
That was awesome.
I mean, there's so much there, and I don't know how you take a transition from children who are sick to yelling at Archie Griffin and John Calipari to play a series, or only Dick Vitale can do that.
Only
Dick Vitale can do that. Weets Marquise, sorry, dude. You get bumped for Dick Vitale, dude. I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't care. Yeah. I'm the one that got the guy, so hey.
Sorry.
Well, it's all good.
Good work, Marquise. Excellent job getting Dick Vitale.
Thank you. He didn't thank me in the whole, you know, spiel. I was going to save that and, you know, play it on a loop when I go on dates. Like, yeah, it's Dick Vitale. Sam, you hear that?
Like, you joke about that, but Stillman actually would do that.
Oh.
Ooh, that's rough.
Well, okay. No, it'd be Jordan Rodgers.
Good friends of mine. Good friend.
Come on, Joe. Like, you're a professional writer.
There is your rewind. All right, Marquise, time to give away a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. Worst office Christmas party experience ever. And we had one guy who was at an office Christmas party who apparently ran into somebody else at the office Christmas party who he arrested like 10 years earlier, and that guy got him as like a dirty Santa or whatever. Like
the police officer was a woman, right?
I don't think so. It's Caleb. I guess it could be a female.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Kayla. Okay.
Caleb said, I'm messing up the story. Caleb said that at a Christmas party, he ran into a guy he had arrested, you know, previously. That would be awkward at a Christmas party. But it sounded like all's well that ended well on that one.
I want more on that one.
I kind of do, too.
I want more info.
I guess it depends on what you got arrested for. Like, how serious was the crime? All right, Marquise. Our winner is, however, though, today.
Oh, you want me to read it?
Oh, yeah, man. Oh,
okay.
So, you're big time back there.
I met a woman at the bar that I did not recognize. We started making out, and then I felt a tap on my shoulder. I turned around. It was my boss. Was looking at me. He said, "Oh, I see you met my ex-wife." I turned back and I looked at her. She smiled with a black front tooth.
I don't know what the tooth.
I don't know what that means.
I don't have any idea what the tooth has to do with anything. But the concept of going to a Christmas party, office Christmas party, meeting a woman, making out with her, and not knowing that somehow she's your boss's ex-wife.
And also, apparently, not looking at her teeth until you're done making out with her.
Yeah, that's also true. No disrespect to people with bad teeth. Eh, not my thing.
Okay, yeah. I don't think it's anybody's, I know where you're going with that.
But
no, I just... Yeah. All right.
That's fair.
Yeah, there you go. So, $100 gift card to Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa there for... What was the winner? You didn't announce the winner's name.
I mean, I guess this is a business. It's Trout Creek.
All right, whoever runs that Twitter account, you win. Cool. For Joe Rexro, thank you, man, for hanging out. Filling in for Derek Mason.
Had a blast.
Shoulder surgery, so we'll see if he's back tomorrow. It's day-to-day for Derek Mason. For Marquise Munson producing, thank you, my man. Great job with Dickie V today. My name's Braden Gall. Thanks for listening. Bailey, DJ Nashville, Derek loves you?
He does. And we love you too, Derek. Welcome. Come home soon.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.